So we'll try to turn this podcast into a Brony message board. Gets us hits. The VGRT Gaming Podcast, episode 397, recorded on August 24th, 2015.
The 397th edition of the TD Gaming Podcast and the 230th episode of Video Game Roundtable. I am Paul S. Novak.
I am Scott Durk.
And I am Jonah Falcon.
The VGRT Gaming Podcast focuses on game news from around the industry.
Yeah, only three more until a landmark. And I'll see if I can't get people at least to make quotes, you know, not actually doing the show, just say something for like 5 minutes or whatever. We'll see. Or we'll just pretend 400 is nothing. So, I'm anxiously awaiting the 1,000th episode of The Order of the Stick. I don't even think they posted the next one. It's at least this time.
Wow, really? I haven't read that in like over a year. That's sad.
Really? Oh, it's gotten intense. They're actually going to do a cliffhanger for the 1,000th. They already did a cliffhanger for 999 because the thing is, for those who don't read Order of the Stick, some of the milestone episodes, like 500, 600, and all that stuff, are completely, utterly mundane. They don't do anything for that mark. And one of them, I think it was 500, actually lampshaded that and said, you know, I bet there's just standing on an elevator or an escalator or something like that. Oh, yeah, the celestial elevator. And it's like, you know, I thought, what's it called? I bet people thought that something really special was going to happen on this panel. And he said, nope. So. Yeah, so I'm actually awaiting it, and I really can't. I don't want to discuss it because a lot of you haven't read *The Order of the Stick*, so I'm not going to spoil it for you. Be a hell of a time to start, you know, if you go from 1 to 1,000. I started actually when the webcomic was at, I think maybe 300 something something, you know. So I wasn't, you know, there from the start, but I also am not a newcomer. So, yeah. It's sort of like Cerebus, that old comic. Remember Cerebus?
Yep.
And that one was comedy, and then it just got darker and darker and darker until it was drama. Well, Order of the Stick never lost its comedy. It sure did get very intense and dark, you know? So, anyways. Paul, what have you been playing this past week?
I finally finished!
Yay!
Heroes of Might and Magic 2.
Yay. And include peals of church bells.
Oh, God, it was epically long. And sadly, I can't move on to Heroes 3, even though I have it in the Humble Bundle pack, because
Steam, played it, didn't you?
Steam is assholes, and they blatantly... They blanketly just dismiss Windows XP. So I've moved on to Heroes 4.
Slapped you in the face.
Yeah,
Heroes 4 is okay. I mean, I liked Heroes 4. A lot of people complained about it, but I liked it when your hero turned into an advanced type of hero depending on the skills that you got. You know, like they would turn into a different type of skill. Like if you had fire, a lot of fire and earth, he would become a fire earth type of hero. You know, and it would get a different.
Right? No, I just started. I've only been through the one board of it, and. Yeah, I've just been seeing that. Like, if you order, if you have order magic and nobility, then they name you prince or some nonsense. And it's like, this is overcomplicated for no reason. It's clearly not the highlight of the franchise.
Yeah, but you know, I like that aspect of it, though. You know, it wasn't over complicated. It was complicated. It was enough to give it a little bit of spice for me. You know. I mean, I still haven't really gotten into Heroes of Might and Magic 5, even though it's sitting there on my shelf. And even though I have Heroes of Might and Magic 6, well...
What I should be doing is playing Heroes of Might and Magic 7, because as a purchaser of the Humble Bundle, I got an invitation to the
early access
beta.
Oh, cool. Well, you can tell us if it's not as dense as... See, here's the thing. They don't call it Heroes of Might and Magic anymore. I don't know why they felt they had to do that, but now they call it Heroes.
I think if I'm reading my email correctly, they retro I think they retro renamed the games. Like it says Hero 7.
No, that's what, no, they call it Hero 7, Might and Magic Heroes 7. So what happens is they were trying to consolidate everything into the Might and Magics, and the thing, I never really played the Might and Magic RPGs, you know. I mean, I was only into Heroes of Might and Magic, so. Right. Yeah, it's supposed to be coming out in September 2015, so your early access is like maybe 2 weeks or something. I don't know, maybe they're doing it for late bug fixing, you know. By the way, we do have one of the items is about early access, so it's actually a nice little synergy there. You know, it's not a segue because we're not going to discuss it just yet. How about you, Paul? Oh, I mean, how about you, Scott?
The other Paul. I've been playing Minecraft and the King's Quest game.
Wow, I'm shocked you're playing Minecraft. That's yep. So unlike you, especially since. For those who don't know his Skype, his thing says I'm a builder. Although now that I think about it, that could be referencing the Lego movie, you know.
That's true.
Although, you know, Minecraft is just Legos for computer age. I wasn't going to say adults because A, adults still play with Lego, and yeah. B, you know, adults also, you know, kids play Minecraft too. If you went to Minecon, it seemed like half of the people there were little British kids, 12 years old and under, you know. Not that it really bothered me. Actually, I like that aspect that, you know, there was a huge convention and a lot of them were kids because, you know, you have to think about the people who are going to carry on after us, you know, the gamers of tomorrow.
Yeah, there's like, I forget what the number is, but it's like, what, 30 or 40 million people are playing Minecraft, probably more. I can't remember, but it's like it's a huge amount and a very diverse crowd of people. So it's, you know, it's not just for the kids, it's for everyone.
Yeah. How about you, Paul? What do you think of that?
I have no opinion.
You don't have any opinion of... Okay.
Nope.
I wonder if there's a My Little Pony convention. I'm pretty sure there is.
Yes, there is.
BronyCon. Yeah, I mean, aside from BronyCon. I mean, aside from BronyCon, because I know Paul went on and on about that a couple of episodes. Well, when was that?
I didn't get to go. I was so upset.
Oh, you didn't go? I thought you went.
No, I would have sent you pictures.
So, wait. I'm not talking about BronyCon. I mean a My Little Pony con from, you know. I was wondering if there was one of those. You know.
I thought it was
Sure there is. There are several BronyCons all over the country, with the big one having just passed. But there's smaller ones all over the place throughout the year. And the only thing that would really make it official is the fact that, you know, Mattel sends a rep to hawk their latest toy line. I mean, but...
Hold on, Paul. You were really gung-ho about a convention that you went to, not the Disney thing that was like 2 weeks ago. I mean, before, there was a huge convention that you were sending back photos about and all that stuff that you're really excited about. I thought it was BronyCon. What was it then?
I don't know what you're getting confused with.
I could have sworn you went to BronyCon, and you were...
I did not go to BronyCon.
I could have sworn you did. I could have sworn.
No, my cousin was in town that weekend.
Oh, you know what?
I was hanging out with him.
Maybe this is like I slipped into an alternate dimension, you know, just like Worf did in Parallels, and you know, I went from a universe that in which you did go to BronyCon to one in which you did not go to BronyCon.
No,
I could have sworn you.
I don't know what you could be confusing it with. I'm gonna look in my photo stream. And see what it could have been.
See, the cake was chocolate, and now it's vanilla. See that?
Like that one
okay,
movie.
So this is D23. Okay, going back.
Frosting was chocolate.
There was a movie with Robin Williams where they were dealing with memory and people that could actually record memories to like a DVR in their head.
Really?
And people would say like, oh, I remember the boat was red, and then their friend would remember the boat was green. And
you know, they actually had real-life experiments
The only thing that I sent pictures back, the only thing that I even have in my photo stream is when I went to go visit my family in July.
You know, maybe it was a year ago then. Maybe did you go to the BronyCon before?
BronyCon was a year ago, dude, yeah.
BronyCon before that.
The only thing that you could have seen was like, oh, this time last year.
But you were excited about having gone. or
yeah, last year.
That's what I meant. Oh, maybe it was last year that you were relaying back what happened at BronyCon. Okay,
entirely possible, but yeah. I mean, unless you're seeing like
it must have been last
post.
Year. When was BronyCon this year?
It was 2 weeks ago.
Oh, okay, so that's it. It must have been last year. Because I remember you were back and you were like coming off cloud nine about how great BronyCon was, you know, and how much you enjoyed it. And, you know, I remember when I visited LA, I don't know if I visited LA, but I visited someplace and I was snapping, I was at Comic-Con and I was snapping photos of My Little Pony licensed stuff. And you said, I already had it, I already saw it, already did
it. The movie I was talking about was Final Cut,
Not Pink Floyd's Final Cut. Now, they actually did experiments with these people, which was based on memory, and they would walk by this thing in which you had two soldiers, and they were told to go away. They pretended it wasn't part of the thing. And the thing is that a week later, these people would remember these wild scenarios with these soldiers that didn't happen, you know, which shows you how much of a liar memory can be, mm-hmm. you know. So, anyways, as for me, I am still playing Mass Effect 3. I just completed the Fall of Thessia. And before that, I did the Geth Quarian, and I swear, I wish instead of punching Han Girl in the stomach, I could just shoot him in the head. Because everything that goes bad with the Geth and Quarian are all his fault. And anybody who's played Mass Effect 3 knows what I'm talking about, and I'm not going to elaborate. You ever get really that angry at a video game character? That they keep on being so contrary, no matter what you do, that it just makes you wish you could shoot them, but they have plot armor on? Either of you?
Nope. I've never played that game.
No.
I've had it in
D&D where the party was traveling with an
NPC
who had plot armor, but yeah. Mm. But yeah, where the players were traveling with an NPC who had plot armor.
Yeah, that's the secondary question of the week. The secondary question of the week is, have you ever encountered a video game NPC who was so annoying you wish you could just beat the crap out of him or shoot him or whatever?
Actually, yeah, that's just like there are certain games where I tried that in Skyrim, and the game crashed when I killed an NPC that, you know, was supposed to have plot armor. So it caused the game to crash. Mm. And then in Fable, you're able to shoot
everybody.
The bad guy who's doing his little evil villain speech, and you just shoot
him. If you don't, Reaver does it for you.
Yeah. Yes.
Actually, you know, in Daggerfall, you can kill everybody, and only one of them will make the game unwinnable. Mm. You know.
Yeah, people love their ghost towns.
Yeah. So, that's what I'm trying to do that's what I was doing in Dishonored, but I haven't finished that game yet. Maybe I will at some point. I don't know. So, anyways, we're going to move straight on to game news. Nintendo patents new hardware and does it include a disk drive? And this comes to us from Nerdist. The internet has been running rampant with speculation about what comes next for Nintendo ever since the company announced that the new console was already in the works under the alias NX. A hardware patent was filed by the Big N back in February that gave us a hint of what's next for the house that Mario built. Published publicly 3 days ago, NeoGAF was quick to find this patent and pointed out some of the highlights in the documents. The piece of hardware is clearly not a handheld since it's defined as a quote-unquote stationary game apparatus, game system, recording medium, and speed control method. It is not clear what the last two bits mean, though. That sort of sounds like a DVR, doesn't it? More importantly, the hardware seems to be accompanied by a controller with a display like the Wii U, and the apparatus also lacks a hard drive. A memory card slot is included, which could mean the console would be all digital or its games are on cartridges. Plus, it includes a slot for an external hard drive, again, another spot to increase storage space if it is indeed an all-digital platform. Because it includes a controller and a game like the gamepad of the Wii U, it is possible it's a redesign of this console, the original console, not a glimpse at the NX. So in other words, it could be a new Wii U that doesn't have a hard drive, that doesn't have a disk drive. So, speculation, Paul?
I don't care. I don't care for this. I don't know. No, you know what? What I suspect would be that they would sell it as an add-on.
I don't know. So here's the other thing, by the way, and we must say this, is that it's just a patent. And
yeah,
Sony, Nintendo,
exactly.
And Nintendo have done patents for all sorts of weird stuff that have never seen the light of day. So even...
Yes, that's the other thing. It's not like... I'm sorry to cut you off, but...
That's okay.
That's the other, before I forget, like, that's really important to note, is that it's just a patent idea. It's not a schematic. It's not a dev kit.
Actually, they're less a schematic.
Well, I mean, it's not...
Now, I mean,
whenever,
a lot of these
whenever
patents,
you release a piece of proprietary hardware, you're not going to go out and, like, give people all of the technical schematics for it. I mean, there's proprietary information there.
Right.
So it's like, whatever this is, I mean, clearly there's a schematic for whatever it is that they're patenting, but it's part of a larger system.
It's also, you know, sometimes they make these patents to cockblock other companies from doing it, because then you can say, no, look, we did it first, you owe us money. You know, let's pretend that this is actually a console that Nintendo intends to bring out. Suppose it's a Wii U that's discless. You know, do you think this might be them trying to encourage people to use the Nintendo eShop?
Okay, if this was going to be something that actually came to market,
yeah,
it would probably be only a way to extend the shelf life of the Wii U in the same way that we had the PS2 Slim.
Right. I highly doubt there'd be cartridges, because the problem with cartridges is that they're extremely expensive to produce. I mean, when you make a disc, that's just carbon. Each disc, every, you know, these DVDs and CDs and all that stuff cost 2 pennies to make. It's just carbon. That's all it is. Just hard, very, very hard carbon that you can write on.
If they are going to do this all-digital console, they would have to improve the eShop and their online presence.
Well, obviously.
A lot more. Yeah. But, I mean, it does interest me, because I have gotten away from the whole being on these discs, because I'm tired of discs getting lost and not having the right one. Or, you know,
let's go back 10 years when people said, I will never give up on physical media because I want to be able to touch and hold and caress it. You know, I don't want all digital media. I want to be able to actually be able to feel the disc and put it in. And if something happens to my hard drive, nothing happens because the disc is separate. Yeah, it's funny how people have moved away from physical media, or at least they're a lot more willing to accept digital media.
That's the problem with humans, and it's really funny because we're supposed to be really adaptable, but yet we need baby steps when it comes to our technology, because it's like we need a time to get used to stuff like Steam and GOG and other cloud-based program storage places that can just give you your stuff whenever you want it, wherever you are. And, you know, if you've moved to a new computer or whatever, and you just download your stuff. And
fortunately.
Yeah, see, I just don't believe claims like that, because it's never as easy as somebody makes it sound.
It was easy for me to move my Steam library, and I know Jonah did the same with his Steam library.
I guess. You also have the cloud and cloud saves and all that stuff. I still have my physical media. I mean, it's funny. With music, I want my hard media, mostly because I don't trust iTunes, and I don't trust Amazon, and I don't trust anybody else. But with games, I mean, here's the thing. I was one of the first people who went all in on Steam back in 2003, technically, because that's when I pre-ordered Half-Life 2, and I went all in. I went with a $125 thing. I think I still have some of those Half-Life 2 postcards. But everybody was panicked over Steam. You know, it's going to be a new DRM, you know, and it's way of Valve controlling your computer, and they're going to get secret data. By the way, I always love it when people are worried about people stealing the data off your hard drive, like you're so important. Yeah. They want to know what your collection of porn is, or they want to know, you know, or they want to know what websites you visit. You know, no one cares. You're not that important.
Yeah.
You know, the only thing who cares really are advertisers, but that's, they can easily do it just by seeing what products you browse on Amazon.
Yeah, I think that is one of the things that they don't like, is advertisers getting their information and selling commercials, just getting more intrusive and obnoxious. So I can see that. And,
on the other hand, I don't mind directed advertising when it's done right. You know, people know what I like. You know, so I say, oh, by the way, you know, this what's it called, Xbox Live is off right now. If you want to buy it, yeah, sure.
Yeah, I'm kind of take the same I kind of take the same tack as you do. I don't mind as long as it's something I might actually consider purchasing. Like, but stop showing me like tampon ads. It's like I'm never, exactly. I'm never going to need that.
That's never going to make a good Mother's Day gift.
Yeah. It's like, when would I ever buy this?
Well, in Scott's case, you know, since he is married, but...
Yeah, but I don't need a commercial like... about it. She's already picked the product she wants. She doesn't need a commercial.
Yeah, you know, that's what I like about Hulu. When I don't go to Hulu as much because 30 Rock was not canceled, but yeah, it's over. But Hulu would say, do you like this ad? Do you like this ad? Does this ad, you know, it asks you if these ads are related to what you want, you know. The funny thing is they never really changed anyway, but I was hoping, you know, sometime they would assume I would like that ad.
I mean, I had a friend who moved to Australia, and he has a computer that doesn't have a CD-ROM drive at all in it. So everything he wanted to move, he put into cloud in one way or another. And then when he got the new computer, he just downloaded the stuff he needed.
Well, you also have external hard drives, too, which are basically functioning backups. I mean, they're really cheap. I saw a 3-terabyte USB 3 for only $100.
Yep.
So, yeah, I mean, and the thing is that it's that time of year, by the way, that time of year in which desktop computer prices are dirt cheap, you know, so I have to start considering, is this year I want to upgrade my computer?
I'm going to have to upgrade my graphics card for Fallout 4.
No, my graphics card is fine, but, you know, because, you know, I don't know. I mean, I go through iBuyPower, I see all these cool desktops, and I start building the desktop that I want just for shits and giggles. You know, it's like, ooh. And they always have these deals, you know.
And if you see the price you like.
No, the price is reasonable. I mean, a top-of-the-line computer with all the bells and whistles, $1,100, that's including tax. That's within my price range, you know. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, I have to convince myself, well, what you have right now is still running stuff. Like, you don't have to upgrade yet. And we've gone way off target from this item. So, you know, I do have a laptop that doesn't have a hard drive, right? And it's, I don't know, it's okay.
You have a laptop that doesn't have a hard drive?
A disk drive. I'm sorry, a disk drive. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, I kind of see it. Like, there, you know, the Mac AirBook is highly popular with high school and college students. Like, so I guess maybe if they're trying to cater to a younger market exclusively, I don't know.
Well, here's the thing.
I find it very difficult to believe Nintendo would go so radical.
Yeah, when you remove, however, when you do remove a disk drive, you can make the product a lot smaller.
Yeah, but I mean, Nintendo has always been backwards compatible.
Almost
with everything. I mean, the last time that that's been something that they seem to have like held on to in their consoles recently. I mean, and they've almost always been backwards compatible on the handhelds, except when they went from like the entire Game Boy line to the DS. But even the 3DS is compatible to the 2DS. But it's kind of like
Has to be compatible to the 2DS. You're talking about the DS. The regular DS.
Right. That's what I mean. The 3DS to the regular DS.
Yeah.
But it's like, I don't know. They might, but it just seems really unlikely. It seems like they picked up the thought of being backwards compatible because they realize how many people want it. I can't imagine them taking a completely different tack at this point.
But you know what? Even if this never comes out, at least it's something forward-thinking from Nintendo, right? I mean, they're always the ones who are sort of like one generation behind in certain stuff. I mean, the Nintendo 64 was still using cartridges when everybody else was using discs, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, at least it's something forward-thinking, you know, like maybe this will never come out, but at least we're considering having a... Because remember, they are going to start making stuff for iPhones and iOS and Android, right? So that all is – there's no physical physical games on those, you know. So now they're starting to integrate themselves more with the idea of being able to sell stuff online. So maybe this is them thinking, you know, at some point, we might as well patent this technology in which you don't use a disc. You just get everything online. We're not at the point in which everybody's connected. You know, that's the one major block, you know, because in order for you to go completely diskless, and cartridgesless, you have to make sure that people are going to be able to buy stuff off your games.
Yes, and keep a good library, like even more than they have now.
But, you know, on the other hand, you know, everybody has iPhones and Androids and iPads, you know, and they're buying games without, you know, from online just like that. Of course, those devices usually have their own internet connection, so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, my iPad doesn't. I got the Wi-Fi instead of the... And I'm going to be upgrading my Android. So I might as well spend the 20 extra bucks to get 5 gigabytes, is it 5 gigabytes? I know it's 5 something. And also to become an integrated hub of its own, you know, so that I can use it in conjunction with my iPad. So, anyways, we're going to move on to the next item. Take it away, Paul.
Versus Excitebike, coming to Nintendo's Virtual Console, and this comes to us from IGN. This week's update of the Virtual Console will add Versus Excitebike to its library of classic games. The Famicom Disk System version of... I'm sorry?
Come on, Paul, it's the Famicom, not the Firecon. Sorry, you said Firecon.
Wow. Okay. I'm having some issues today. It's like I wanted to say like the media company Viacom, but I put an S there instead.
Or maybe you're thinking of that person and thinking I want to fire him.
That's entirely possible. The Famicom Disk System version of Excitebike vs. Excitebike has never previously been available for purchase outside of Japan. Several of the vs. Excitebike features make it significantly different from its relative on the Nintendo Entertainment System, the original Excitebike, including a competitive two-player mode, a mode where players can create custom tracks, and a single player based on the arcade version of Excitebike. Nintendo's announcement of Versus Excitebike's addition to the Virtual Console did not specify if it was for the Wii U or Nintendo 3DS, but it will be added to the ecosystem as part of the August 27th update.
Which probably is going to be around the time you're listening to this podcast.
Probably.
Now, about this, you know, I played Excitebike on the NES, and, you know, I enjoyed it, but little did I know that over in Japan, people were able to save their tracks, you know, the ones that they made. They were to play what's it called, two-player and all that stuff. We missed out on a lot, because I really enjoyed Excitebike on the NES, but, you know, I mean, I always make the same track, but I don't know, maybe if I was able to save it, I would have been a little bit more, adventurous.
They really should have allowed you to save it and be able to share it with your friends or bring it over to your friend's house.
Yeah, so, Paul, did you enjoy Excitebike?
I really didn't. It was
really?
Yeah, it wasn't intuitive. I couldn't figure it out. I was 5. I mean, it was a yucky game.
I played it in the arcade before I played it in the NES, which is why I enjoyed it a lot more. But I enjoyed it. I mean, you know, I just wish I could have played someone else. It was just me versus 3 other bikes. You know, computer bikes, not even another person.
I don't know why they did that sort of thing. They held back a lot of products like that.
Well, like I said, the Famicom back in Japan had a lot more features, including a hard drive, a disk drive. Paul could probably tell you more than it than I can, since he's the one who's heavily into Nintendo history.
What can I tell you about?
The Famicom.
Oh, it was the same as the NES, but released in Japan.
Yeah, but it had a lot more features. You could get a disk drive for it, you know, that sort of thing.
They were all things that were planned for like a U.S. expansion, but like the the Super Nintendo came out instead, and then
yeah,
you know, things just kind of got shelved. It wasn't radically different.
No, I mean, but still, it had features that we could have like used. I mean.
But that's like saying that like your mouse had some mice have a third button.
Paul, really? Did you enjoy having to write down codes because that's the way they saved it? They gave you a code.
You had to do it on the Famicom too.
No, they had a hard drive though. I mean, some games allowed it for hard drives to save.
Right, and some games here on the NES, you didn't have to write down codes either. I mean, that's part of what made Zelda so popular.
Yeah, because the game, it had a little battery in it.
Yeah, lots of games had little batteries in them.
Well, I guess.
I understand what you're saying. Like, a lot of the first-gen NES games, you needed a code, but later on, you didn't need that.
Scott, how about you? Did you like Excitebike?
Yeah, I played it when I was young, and I could swear that that would have been a perfect game to be two-player, and if it wasn't, I'm just surprised.
I just realized... You know what? Well, they already made that comparison before, but yeah. I mean, the Xbox 360 and Xbox One got their own version of Excitebike. And it is a spiritual successor to it, you know? You know the game, right?
I played it. And like I said, my friends and I played it. I remember playing it with them, but I guess not at the same time. I guess we took turns, you know?
I only played the demo of Trials. I should really have bought it at some point. I wonder if they're coming out with Trials for the Xbox One. Well, actually, you know, with the backwards compatibility, Microsoft will probably allow you to buy it. You know? It's one of the things, by the way, about the backwards compatibility is that if people who didn't buy a game on the 360 say, you know what? I might as well buy it on the Xbox One instead. And even though I gave away my Xbox 360 a long time ago. So, yeah. Oh, I saw at GameStop a used Gears of War 3 Xbox 360 and a used Modern Warfare 3 Xbox 360. And the Gears of War 3 Xbox 360 was so beautiful. And it was one of those things in which they're extremely hard to find. And I'm thinking, you know, maybe I should buy this for $200. A, because it's cool, and B, maybe it'll get something on eBay, you know? Because this isn't something that's on GameStop, the site. It's at a location, you know, where they show the stuff that they have used, you know, that people have brought them. Oh, I don't know. It's so tempting. Anyways, moving on to the next item. Go ahead, Scott.
Okay. Nintendo increasingly considering movies. This is from Games Industry Biz.
I was just about to read that on Facebook.
No.
Sorry,
really?
Please go. Yeah, no. So it just came up in my news feed like half an hour ago.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
It's been more than 20 years since Super Mario Bros. Flopped at the box office.
Remember, it's Mario, and Luigi Mario.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Super Mario Brothers, and Luigi's adopted.
And they're not brothers.
No, they are. They're his adopted brother. That's what it said in the movie.
Anyways.
I'm sorry, we're interrupting the copy. You know how much I hate that.
You know what, but the thing is that I think anything that's involving the Super Mario Brothers movie is very interruptible.
Mm-hmm. Oh, come on. Somebody tried really hard for it.
Yeah, they gave us
I'm sure, like, the sound people and the lighting effects people, like, they all did their best work. Like, they worked with what they were given. Let's not poop on everybody.
Yeah, sure, the actors did the best. Mario, Ben Peebles, and...
Dennis Hopper.
Yeah.
Oh, and you know the woman, the actress, she's famous now, and I forgot her freaking name. Oh well. Anyway, moving on.
And Nintendo may finally be ready to give feature films another shot, according to Fortune. Nintendo executive Shigeru Miyamoto.
Come on.
Miyamoto.
I see. It's a lot harder than it looks to.
I never
bought
you,
Shigeru Miyamoto.
Right. See, it's not just me.
Well, wait, but Paul, you never stumble on Nintendo executive names like Shigeru Miyamoto and Turo Iwata.
I'll just put up city names of Zulu city names, and we'll see Jonah try to pronounce them.
Oh, you're gonna Beaver Falls and Raccoon City and.
No, Zulu, I said.
Okay, and you know what? As far as me and Miyamoto, it's because there are like maybe five famous game designers in my industry,
anyway,
and this is like one of them. It's not really hard to remember five names.
Anyways.
But please continue, Scott.
Anyway,
you're doing an excellent job.
Thank you. Has been working with Shinya Takahashi, GM of the company's software planning and development division, to oversee the use of Nintendo characters in films, like Donkey Kong's appearance in Summer's Adam Sandler movie Pixels, for example.
You know, that's one strike against them right there.
You know what? I was excited to see Pixels until I realized that Adam Sandler was involved, and I only learned that until after the movie came out. And
it was a Happy Madison film. It wasn't just Adam Sandler, because Adam Sandler can be in, say, you know, the Paul Thomas Anderson film, you know, or or what? But no, it's a Happy Madison film.
I believe that you can't blame the graphics guy for the story being sucky, you know?
Right, exactly. Like just like we were saying for the Mario film.
From what I understand, the Hotel Transylvania film isn't bad.
Good enough to get a sequel.
Yeah, I know. Yep. I was just saying. So, apparently. I don't think... Oh, God, if there's a sequel to Pixels.
Adam Sandler needs to stop making movies.
Yeah, or at least take a break.
Or at least stop making McMovies. You know, yeah. McNugget movies here.
As we look
more broadly at what is Nintendo's role as an entertainment company, we're starting to think more and more about how movies can fit in with that, and what will potentially be looking at things like movies in the future, Miyamoto told the magazine at E3 in June. After hackers leaked a batch of Sony Pictures executive emails late last year, it became clear there was interest in Hollywood in revisiting Nintendo's properties as well.
Hold on. Sony wants to make Nintendo movies? That's kind of kinky, actually, when you think about it.
Well, they had dealings in the past, so it doesn't really surprise me. And Sony Pictures is probably different from Sony...
Yeah, because at one point Sony Pictures was holding a contest and the prize was an Xbox 360. So, it's true.
Anyway, so, yeah, different branches, so they can do different things. A series of emails from producer Adi Arad to then-studio chief Amy Pascal revealed that the producer had been talking to Nintendo about making a Mario animated film. Cool if it's well done. Probably CG animated. And next bit. We've had, over the years, a number of people who come to us and said, why don't we make a movie together, or we make a movie and you make a game and we'll release them at the same time, Miyamoto told Fortune. Because games and movies seem like similar mediums, people's natural expectation is that we want to take our games and turn them into movies. I've always felt video games being an interactive medium and movies being a passive medium means the two are quite different.
Just so you know, Avi Avrad produced every single Marvel movie since 1994. He also produced Double Dragon, so there's that little black mark on his list. But every single Marvel movie has been produced by him. He also produced Bratz the movie. So here's the problem I have with this. You know where Nintendo has really done well in terms of being in passive entertainment? Television. I mean, Paul knows this. I mean, Captain N, the Game Master, and the various shows.
But Nintendo. It wasn't that like there were Nintendo animators making those shows. It was whoever was approving show concept or show scripts that were developed by, what is now Deke and Cookie Jar Entertainment.
When I think of Nintendo,
on the ball, like they were really smart by keeping the shows aligned with the IPs.
Yeah, when I think of Nintendo in movies, I think of the Wizard, and that's it.
I don't know because I think a lot of the characters that showed up in the Captain N cartoon, they didn't really represent how I felt about the character or what I thought the character would act like. It felt like it was the total opposite in some cases.
And what so you didn't like it, because. It was Dumicus.
I mostly didn't like the narcissistic Simon. That really got on my nerves. And I didn't like the horny Zell Link either. That was kind of annoying.
No. I mean, the Legend of Zelda cartoon wasn't that bad. Come on. I mean, Paul loved it, if I remember correctly. And although he's threatening to aim a nuclear weapon at my house if I do Link's catchphrase.
We understand each other so well, Riona. It only took like 7 years to get to this point, but we've developed a kind of telepathy, and you should be happy about that because, you're still breathing.
I lost my train of thought there, damn it. There was a point I was going to make, but I'm going to have to remember it. Paul?
You know what? It was... They had the luxury of having those... See, I don't think those cartoons would work now, because they had the luxury at the time of working with games that were really still in an 8-bit stage.
You know, Yeah, I mean, you have a point there, because remember, the big thing about the wizard, the really big thing, was that it was a preview of Super Mario Bros. 3.
Right, and that's the reason why people wanted to see that film. Even though it was an absolutely charming story about, you know, an older brother trying to, like, get through his younger brother's, like, PTSD or autism or whatever he had.
His mother died.
Right, and it was, you know, they thought they would be able to reach him through video games.
When I go to California, because that's where his mother was buried.
Please don't do that.
But that's what he says. Okay. No, the thing that
it was his sister who died.
It was sister? No, it could have been.
I think so, yeah.
I thought it was his mother.
I thought it was his twin sister that drowned.
You'll have to
go back and watch it.
I think, God, no.
And I'll bet you Scott is wikiing it for us right now.
Because, what's it called? Because, you know, the Power Glove, I love it. It's so
right,
bad.
Exactly.
So bad.
Exactly. I mean, they put some product placement in there, but, like, there really was, like, a story there with some heart to hang a couple
Captain
of commercials
Ed
in the
worse,
middle of.
Had worse product placement.
And, you know, differences of opinion with the portrayal of Link in that cartoon, you know, they did still hang a story on, you know, this kind of, like, moonlighting relationship where it's like we love each other and hate each other at the same time.
Wait a minute, were
they
a couple?
That they were hanging there.
Were they a couple in that? I mean, it always seemed to me like Zelda was putting them off.
Either. What? I don't think they were a couple in Moonlighting either, but it was that same kind of thing. It's like,
oh, no, I meant in Zelda. I mean, no, in Moonlighting, once they did it, that show was over. You know?
Right, but that was the whole same kind of premise for the Zelda cartoon. It was, you like, know, we love each other, but we hate each other kind of thing.
When I'm thinking about Captain N, and this is the thing I was going to mention, product placement, it was the second season introduced Game Boy that made you want to murder the world.
By the way,
yeah,
we
can't even go there.
What? It was the sister who died.
Really?
Because
Scott.
I do remember the father tracking down his sons. I do remember that bit where you would see scenes of the father trying to find his boys.
I think that was the highlight of Christian Slater's career.
Yeah.
Especially that weird, what's it called, sexual tension between him and his father. I don't understand why they had to include that. Because they're always naked in bed together and staying in bed together and being in their pajamas and hugging each other. And it felt like one of those really, I don't know, perverse films. I'm not going to go there. But anyways.
Okay.
Anyways, getting back to movies.
Yeah, but I mean, the point that I've been trying to make was that those cartoons, I think, were successful at the time because we didn't really have you know, a voice for Link or Zelda. We didn't really understand, you know, because we had very little to go with on, like, the original Zelda.
But here's
the
thing.
Or on A Link to the Past, which had just come out, like, right after the cartoons were launched. So we didn't really have an image in our mind of those characters yet.
But if you do a Nintendo movie with Nintendo characters, would it work if it's not self-referential? You know? I mean, a lot of the movies that are doing, like, the Muppets, you know, a lot of it is self-referential. Or
so you're saying, can it be serious or does it have to be camp?
I mean, what I'm asking is, are these characters going to be self-aware as themselves as being video game characters in a larger world like Wreck-It Ralph? Or are they going to be on adventures like Zelda, you know, in which they have a set universe, they don't know that an outside universe exists, that they're a video game outside themselves, you know, that sort of thing.
I'd rather it, because I thought you were referring to Final Fantasy, the movie.
I love Final Fantasy, The Spirits Within.
Well, yeah, because that was not really, it didn't have anything to do with the series.
But neither did any of the games. I mean, they were different. Every time we went to a different Final Fantasy, a different game anyway.
There were themes with the games. You had the crystals, you had Cid, you had Chocobos.
From what I understand, with Final Fantasy, the movie?
They were common elements, but they were never the same world.
Yeah, but Final Fantasy, the movie, from what I understand, took elements from a bunch of the stories from Final Fantasy and smushed them a bit together, you know?
Yeah, it just—I don't know.
I love that movie. I mean, maybe I love it more because I don't play Final Fantasy all that much.
Possibly, you know? Yeah. You weren't tied into the nostalgia of all those games, and then, you know, just have something so different. You know, so yeah.
But here's the question I'm asking. Would you prefer something like a Zelda movie in which they're not video games, they're just characters from the game, and they're having their adventure in a fantasy world, or do you want them to be video game characters in a movie, much like Wreck-It Ralph, you know, in which they're, you know...
I would want it to be completely serious. I would want it to be entirely not self-referential. I would want it to just be, like, a Zelda Link adventure story. If they were going to do... to do a mashup between different Nintendo IPs, then we can get self-referential slapsticky.
You could make a Star Fox game that's not self-referential. Although, you know, if you do a Star Fox game, that's going to be awfully similar to Guardians of the Galaxy, if you really want to think about it. You know, I mean, could you make a Kid Icarus, what's it called, movie? You know, I mean about a...
You absolutely could.
Yeah.
You can make a movie out of any of those IPs.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, like I said, if you're going to make a movie, I think Zelda is the strongest because, A, it's fantasy, and it's easier to make a fantasy story, right? I mean, there's not much to explain. It's an elf with a sword, and there's a princess. That's all you really need to know.
I think Castlevania.
No, I mean, that's kind of not really all you need to know. I think that's a movie executive's mistake in the making right
there. Well, no, I just mean it's the easiest...
It's a guy with a sword and a princess.
What I'm saying is it's an easier concept for someone who isn't into video games could grasp, you know? I mean, and also, I'm pretty sure Paul would orgasm if he heard a fully orchestrated film version of the Zelda theme just when the opening credits happen.
Your understanding of my arousal spectrum is completely off.
Oh. Well, at least you would get excited, I would imagine.
There are fully orchestrated themes of
Video Games Live, we know. I'm just saying, in the context of a movie, when you see the credits coming up, opening credits,
I would probably get emotional, but I don't think I would find it a joyful experience.
I think Jonah just likes the hyperbole.
I really do think he just likes hyperbole.
But I still think Nintendo's best bet is making a TV show because that's where, you know, I mean, suppose they just said, okay, we're going to reboot Captain N, or we're just going to reboot the Legend of Zelda cartoon, or we're just going to
That work, though? Because I think the TV era is kind of petering out.
I don't think so.
Can
you imagine making a deal with Netflix? I mean, they can make a deal with Netflix and, that sort of thing. I mean, Paul, which would you prefer? We're just going to say use a single IP as a bellwether here. Would you prefer a Legend of Zelda movie or a Legend of Zelda series?
I think I'd prefer a series.
Huh. Game of Thrones works, so why not, right?
I mean, yeah, not a live-action series. I would prefer another cartoon, frankly.
And you know,
but, I mean, people don't know how to make cartoons in this country anymore.
Here's the thing. You know what you could do?
There's Avatar.
What you could do...
Right, there is Avatar. There's like a handful of places that could pull it off, but...
Well, this is sort of related to that. What you could do with the Legend of Zelda series, a new one, that the old one did not do, was have an overarching season story, you know?
Right, exactly.
Yep.
And not have it be 7 minutes long would also be nice, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, how much of a story can you really get into in 7 minutes? But, you know, they actually, like, they really did. Like, they went into stuff with Zelda's father and other creatures that live in the kingdom.
Well, that's the other thing. I think Zelda has the most backstory of any of the Nintendo properties now. I mean,
I don't know. I still don't care for a lot of the backstory that they've hand-fisted together recently.
Ew.
I really don't. I mean, the entire society of Skyward Sword,
Well, I mean, as a whole, I mean, you don't have to copy the entire, you just have references. Anyways, we're going to move on to the next item. 2DS dropping to $100, and this comes to us from Games Industry Biz. Nintendo is dropping the price of the 2DS later this month. The company today announced that as of August 30th, the suggested retail price of the system in the U.S. will drop from $130 to $100. The company is positioning the handheld as an economical choice for first-time gamers. The 2DS lacks both the clamshell design and the glasses-free 3D screen of the standard 3DS, which means no hinges for the players to break and no concerns for the effect of 3D visuals on younger eyes. Nintendo warns that the 3D feature on the 3DS is only for players age 7 and up.
Right.
While the 2DS has sold about 3.8 million systems lifetime to date, it was the least popular iteration of the 3DS family in Nintendo's first quarter. From April through June, the 2DS sold 50,000 units worldwide, a number trumped by the 3DS XL, 80,000, and the new 3DS, 150,000, and the new 3DS XL, 710,000. The 2DS is not available in Japan, and the new 3DS is not available in the Americas. The new 3DS? Paul?
It is available.
No, the new 3DS. Apparently, it's a new iteration that's been released in Japan.
Yeah, I've got nothing.
Yeah. The problem I have with the 2DS, because I was today I was walking, you know, and I was considering buying a 2DS. Now I'm glad I didn't, since they're going to drop the price. I don't care if it doesn't have 3D, but I just don't like the fact it's not a clamshell.
That does kind of bother me. I mean, I turn off the 3D whenever I play it, frankly, because it's just a little much.
It's easy to turn off.
But it feels too much like a tablet, and I want a clamshell so I can close it.
There's something about closing a
console rather than having it there with the screens exposed.
Right, it makes you feel like you're protecting the screen.
Yeah, I feel baffled at these people breaking their Nintendo stuff. What are they doing? You know, the controllers for the Wiimotes and the...
little kids are going to break stuff. That's why these things are relatively inexpensive. You know, they smash when you buy another one. Maybe I'll pick up a 2DS, but frankly, I'd rather they drop the price of the 3DS and even just the old 3DS, the one with that doesn't have that little button. I mean, I looked at the 3DSs in GameStop. One of them's one of the used ones is selling for $130, and the other one is selling used for $180. And the one that's selling used for $130 doesn't have a little gray button on the upper right, and it has three buttons instead of one button. Paul, can you explain the difference between those 3DSs?
There's the original 3DS, and there's one that's a larger size.
No, they're both large, but one of them has a little gray button above. You know, I don't know what it is.
I haven't looked into it in a while.
Well, whatever. They're $50 difference in price. So one of them, I don't know. I'll have to look it up. But, you know, like I said, I'm hoping more for a drop. Like I said, that lacking the clamshell design is a deal breaker for me, you know? I mean, I guess if I really, really want to play the upcoming Dragon Quest game, then maybe I'll buy them as a... Oh, yeah. The other thing is that the new...
I mean, it's $100.
The 2DS...
How would you not?
The new 2DS is also going to be coming with Mario Kart 7 as a bundle, the lower-priced one.
Oh, neat.
So
that's nice.
Yeah, I don't know. I can wait. I can wait. Maybe they'll drop the price of the 3DS. Because, you know, even if I don't use the 3D, I still want a clamshell. Damn it. Anyways, we're going to move on to the last item. Go ahead. This would be Paul.
Darkest Dungeon adds option to turn off controversial features. And this comes to us from Kotaku. Darkest Dungeon might be the out-of-nowhere Steam sensation of the year. For the game, that's been a double-edged sword. The punishingly difficult game launched earlier this year as an early access game, but it was already in better shape than a lot of quote-unquote complete releases. People flocked to it, significantly more than anybody, least of all the game's developers, expected. Ever since, there's been attention to its life as an early access mainstay, developer Red Hook's grand plan versus players' wishes. These new features added in July contend many players ruin the game. That's an awkward phrasing. New features added in July may ruin the game, complain many players, or at least make it significantly less fun. Corpses pile up in battle, cluttering up space, such as it's usually a good idea to destroy them to get at other enemies. The problem is that this isn't very fun, and it takes time. For your characters slowly descending into a sloshing vat of madness that you don't have.
Okay, let me pause there. So the entire point of Darkest Dungeon is that when you're fighting, your characters get less and less happy. You know. And they also develop neuroses after these battles, you know. So
it's a little bit more
psychological,
more realistic in that.
A psychological game, you know. And some of them develop quirks, like they become pickpockets, and they get in trouble because they're pickpocketing people, that sort of stuff. So it's sort of like, you know,
So it has a design philosophy,
right? I mean, their characters are not the same after they fight. They start developing neuroses. Basically.
Right. Okay. So your characters evolve in a way that's outside of your control. Understandable.
Right. Got it.
Heart attacks, meanwhile, are the culmination of characters' stress. If they can't deal, there's a good chance they'll drop dead. According to players, this happens a lot, sometimes to every character in the party. Again, people feel like it's a needless frustration. They don't think it really improves the game. After weeks of unease and countless irate forum threads, Red Hook has finally reached an interesting compromise with players. They're going to keep the features like corpses and heart attacks in the game, but while the game is in early access, players can simply turn them off. According to Red Hook, quote, "We believe that corpses and heart attacks are important mechanics for the game, not only for the reasons initially discussed in the corpse and hound design notes, but reinforced by our observations since. However, today we are introducing a set of gameplay options, accessed through the normal options menu, which allows you to turn them off. Just as we were willing to experiment by adding these features, we are willing to experiment with ways to allow you to shape the Darkest Dungeons experience a bit to your liking. As many of you know, we have been reluctant to add difficulty-related options until now because focusing on our intended vision of the game has been our number one priority, and our experiments and changes during early access have all been in support of iterating upon that. But it would be foolish of us not to consider the fact that the Darkest Dungeon community is now big enough to include diverse groups, some of which would like to play the game differently than we might have envisioned. Although we've always been unapologetic about how important it is that Darkest Dungeon is punishing, unforgiving, and sometimes not even quote-unquote fair, at the end of the day, we want those of you who want to own it and have a fun that can't be forgotten. By default, these features will be enabled because Red Hook feels, quote, that they are important in the context of the broader experience. They hope to collect information on their use in order to improve them and hopefully make them, you know, more fun.
You know, I was wondering until, because I didn't read the entire article, and then when I finally pasted it and all that, oh, okay, they are. Because I was thinking, you know, there's a good way if you have those options, you know, that, the game will send back information back to the developers to show if they're actually using the options or if they're switching them off, you know, like instant feedback without having to go into the forums. So.
Okay.
Now, here's the thing about, you know, when someone releases something in early access, I always consider that game's released. It's not a beta. It's been released. You released it, and people paid for it. It's an actual release. I don't care if you think you're still working on it. You released the game, you know? And here's a little thing. If people are playing your game, they like the version that you released, you know? And it's kind of awkward to change the game, you know, and consider, well, this is the game that you've been playing, that you've really been enjoying, well, that's not the game we really want to release. Here's some features, and whether you like it or not, you know, I don't know. Like I said, early access is very tricky. It's not a beta release. It's actually released because I feel that if you pay for a game, that game has already been released. You know? I mean, it's like with Minecraft. I mean, even when Minecraft is an alpha, people were paying to play it. That game was actually released. You know?
And it's been changing all these years. They've been adding features to it.
But the thing is that it's been beta for like 6 years, and it's been officially released for what, like a year and a half? You know,
a little bit more than that.
I mean, and no one really noticed when it went from beta to actual release version.
they had an announcement at one of the Minecons. I forget which Minecon it was. It was basically, I think, the one where Notch was saying he was done with it, he was going to move on to that space project, but he, you know, never completed it. And he was saying like it's fully released now, and now Jeb's in charge. So whatever.
Here's a question: did anybody notice if they weren't told that the game was officially released? Aside from maybe it's, did it have a little thing that said, congratulations, this game is now released, you know, like when you booted it up after the latest patch?
There is when you boot up the game, there is a, you know, they have that little yellow text there, and there is one line that says, you know, is complete or something like that. So, uh-huh. You know, but it's like, but even since then, they've added stuff, and there's going to be a combat update where they're going to allow you to basically dual wield, have two things in your hands. You know, you can do a pickaxe and a sword, or your bow and your sword, or a torch and your sword, or whatever, you know, allow you to use both your hands. So that's really going to change the way the game is played and the way combat is done. So that's going to be kind of drastic, I think.
So, Paul, being a part of the video game industry, do you have any thoughts on this?
You know, good for Red Hook for sticking to their guns. They're deliberately trying to set out to make a different kind of game experience. And they really shouldn't be dissuaded from that because they're going to find a really dedicated audience. That said, you know, if it's a thing, it's going to create a shadow, and a shadow means that there are going to be people who don't like it.
You know, here's the thing. Imagine if they had released the game with these features included, and people who bought the game, you know, what's it called? It had a normal release. No one was beta testing it, and all the features that they said, like the corpses and this stuff, were in the game, you know, and when it was released, no one liked it because it was just not fun. You know, it's interesting that, you know, people found the beta fun, and now they're complaining that as it gets closer to a release version, wait a minute, these features you're putting in aren't fun, you know.
Well, because they probably didn't understand the design thought anyway. This is showing you how mentally taxing it would be to be an explorer of a dungeon. That's kind of what they're going for here.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it's something new. It's something different.
Right, but I'm just saying.
And it sounds like the people who are complaining are the people who just want it to be the same old thing that they're used to.
Yeah. It's not.
So if you could press a couple of buttons and turn it into that, that's a great compromise.
Well, sometimes gamers have a point. I mean, sometimes you can add too much busy work.
Sometimes
you have something called feature creep, you know?
There is that, but I think
that's not what feature creep means, Jonah.
Point that people sometimes make purchases without really investigating what the point of the game is.
Well, they know what the point of the game is. I mean, they appreciated it. See, there's a line in which it goes from tough but enjoyable, you know, like XCOM. Let's look at XCOM, right? If you play on Iron Man mode, you know that everything that happens in that game, it's your fault. You know, it's not, you're not being cheated. There's a point in which you start feeling cheated. You know, like it's becoming. Do you watch Dexter's Laboratory? Either of you?
Yeah, I've seen
not
it,
since
yeah.
It was on the air like 10 years ago.
Well, remember when Dexter was a DM?
And no, I don't remember.
That was the one in which he was holding a Dungeons & Dragons campaign. And his mentality was, it's me versus the players. And the players
that
were not.
That is the absolute wrong mentality to have.
But that's what he had. He was just.
That's
it was DM.
It's the wrong mentality to have.
It's the DM versus players. So Dee Dee came in, and she started running the campaign. And while it was a little bit fluffy and, you know, fluffy and light, you know, she was doing, you know, she was having fun along with the players, and they were having fun with her. You know, so there has to be a balance between, you know, in this case, you know, the players have to be enjoying themselves if they want to play your game. And like I said, the problem with this is they already paid for the game. This is not a beta test, right? So the game that they paid for is being changed.
You knew that going in. It was an early release.
I guess. I mean, if you want to go with caveat emptor all the time, you know, but like I said.
Things do change. I remember Pillars of Eternity had a couple of characters that we were promised, but that, you know, just got axed because of story design went in a different direction. You know, and I
never beta tested. I never was in the early release for Pillars of Eternity. I was qualified to because I spent $145 on it, but I'm the sort of person who doesn't want to have anything to do with the game until it's actually released and, you know, have a finished
product.
Probably
a good idea, then you don't get hooked into anything that's in early development that is going to radically change, you know, upon release. Yeah. So, yeah, that was probably a good idea. So, I mean, there was a character, it was two characters I wanted. I wanted to play the little halfling detective, and I wanted to play the cleric, Caldron, or whatever her name was again. Huh. And they both got basically axed, you know, from the story, or at least as played the characters. So, you know, I was disappointed. So, you know, it's like, yeah. Maybe I should have just not looked at all the early stuff.
Paul, any last words? Or
no, I'm done.
Okay. We have some listener feedback. Billy from Twitter tweeted to me I complained about that my disc ripper, my DVD ripper, was no longer working under Windows 10. He said, Handbrake works great on Win 10 for ripping DVDs, open source too. Okay. And the thing is, just
thanks for the tip.
Just so you people know, I own these DVDs, so therefore I'm allowed to do whatever I want with them. You know, I'm not going to Netflix and ripping movies and saving them on a hard drive, you know, which is basically stealing. These are movies I already
right
own.
To hell, Jonah.
I rip them so I can put them on my cell phone. Anyways. So the question of the week is, would you buy an all-digital console? And
probably
by console, you know, I mean, we already have all-digital handheld. I mean, Androids and all that. But Paul already said no. How about you, Scott?
Yeah, I would buy it as long as reliable and reliable platform. I think, like, Steam has been good. But I know they have a console, you know, the Steam Box, so... Yeah, but so long as it has a good library and reliable connection, good support, it looks like a good idea to me.
You know what? The thing is that I would like to see them do what they do with some of the old consoles, in which they make a console with a ton of games on the ROM, and they release it like that. You know, sir. I mean, you already see it with those NES boxes, you know, or the Genesis boxes, in which all the really popular games are on the ROM drive that are accessible, you know, like those 30-in-1 things, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's an example, you know, or like the Atari joystick, that's the Atari 2600 joystick, which has like 50 Atari 2600 games on it.
Right.
They're all doing that because it's no longer proprietary hardware, which goes back to a story we were talking about earlier.
Well, my point is, you know, I would like to see that with last-gen hardware. Like, wouldn't it be nice to have a Xbox 360 / PS3 / GameCube or Wii, which is just a box with a bunch of popular games on it? You know, there's no downloading or anything like that. Just a pre-installed bunch of games. Or how about this? Remember they had these services in which you could order a tape and you would pick the songs you'd want on the tape and they would send you a tape with the songs on them? How about this?
No idea what you're talking about.
How about if you can... I want to buy Xbox 360, you know, what's it called? The Xbox 360 whatever, driveless. And I'm going to pick out these games for you to install on the ROM, you know, or whatever. And
do you realize how fantastically complicated that sounds from a legal standpoint?
No, not if it's all first party. You know. Anyways,
well, then there's not going to be any choices to be made.
Well, no, you can choose which of the first party software you want. I mean, anyways, that's the question of the week. Would you buy an all digital console? So, look for our show notes at gamingpodcast.net, along with the industry news and our gaming history articles. You hear feedback, so leave us comments on our blog at gamingpodcast.net. Also, hit us up at facebook.com/gamingpodcast or the forums at gamingpodcast.net/forum, or send your comments to fans@gamingpodcast.net. You can reach me at Jonah Falcon. You can reach Paul at Stager Monkey. You can reach Scott at Alpha Shard. And, I mean, you know, I would like some emails. I mean, Arthur the Fifth is not posted recently, although he says he's going to school, I believe.
I don't buy it. I think he just hates us.
Yeah. We don't have any of the older... I mean, I know that Paul wants to hear Max Donovan again.
Where is Max Donovan?
So, yeah. Anyways, we will see you next week as we approach slowly towards 400.
Happy gaming, everyone.
Bye, Bonds. What? It's good advice.
The clicking, clicking, clicking. Click, 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 click. So, is that it? No one has anything else to say?
Mm.
No, I'm good.
I thought that was a fun episode. That's a Nintendo stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good episode. I mean, despite the fact that all but one of the news items was about Nintendo, not that I cared really.
No, I don't particularly care either.
I see all the big games are coming out now. Although I'm really looking forward to next week because I want to get my Mad Max Fury Road DVD or Blu-ray.
Really? Why?
Because I love that movie. I love that movie.
All your taste is in your feet, Jonah.
Yeah, that's why I had a 98% Rotten Tomatoes score. Which, by the way, tied with Inside Out. And I still haven't seen that. But it's still in theaters. You know, I'm probably going to go see it this weekend. This coming weekend.
I thought it was a good film.
Yeah, it was a fun film. I'm actually looking forward to the playset for Infinity.
Oh, that's right. They have a playset. Yeah. Oh, there was another news item, and I forgot all about it, in which...
No, that's okay. I'm out of time.
Is that Star Wars?
Oh, yeah. There were people that were banning Windows 10. Pirates were banning Windows 10. That was an item I saw on Facebook as well.
That's
which
fine.
I thought, yeah, very funny. You would think it'd be the other way around.
Wah, wah. Hey, look, they're banning pirated... we're pirating stuff, and it's calling us out on it. Poor guys. Maybe they can be like Paul and just stick with Windows XP.
Well, so far I think I'm going to stick to Windows 7 because apparently Traps doesn't want to work on Windows 10.
Huh?
Traps is a game recording or video recording device when you're playing games or mostly for games. Yeah.
Some of my software I just had to reinstall. So. Like Pinnacle Studio, I had to reinstall because it didn't recognize. And then they said, well, you might as well reinstall it. I didn't. It works fine. So maybe something you have to do every time you go up another OS. I'm fine with Windows 10. I mean, you know, it's fine. At least I get some. You can stream your Xbox One onto the Windows 10 now. Not that I'm going to be doing that. Just think it's busy work.
Yeah.
So, Paul?
Yes, Jonah?
Oh, damn it. I forgot what I was going to ask you now. Oh, well. Maybe I'll remember it another time, another way. Oh, yeah. My Little Pony is on Netflix, right?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, so I will look at the fifth season.
I saw the first episode of Doctor Who.
Yay! Oh.
Do you watch Doctor Who as well, Scott?
Yes, I do.
Did you watch the first episode?
I've watched everything that's been released, so yeah.
No, well, we're talking about the one that was... Well, so maybe we can have you two discussing the season premiere of Doctor Who. Let me ask you a question, Paul. Was it interesting, at least?
Not really. I mean, it was the new Doctor. Was it an old guy?
Another new Doctor? Really? You know, they had Robert Downey Jr. dressed as Doctor Who.
I mean, the quality, it's... Yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to let you guys go, and I'll let you know when I watch My Little Pony.
All right.
Okay.